Well, something you ought to know about me by now, if you don't already, is that I love doing improv. Improv is short for improvisation, which is a style of art where you gotta come up with something right there in the moment, on the spot, with no script or specific plan ahead of time. Yes, I get the irony that I'm reading from a sermon I already wrote. But if you've ever watched like the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway, or maybe if you've seen a performance from the Second City Theater Troupe, or even if you've gone to a jazz or a blues concert and you've seen the artists trading off solos, these are all examples of improv in different art forms. Back in college, Ray and I were actually members of an improv team, and we would put on these monthly comedy shows on the campus. The improv team was actually how we got to know one another. It's even how we wound up getting engaged during an improv show. But that's a story for another day. Now, one of the things I love about improv is that it hands you a broad and basic set of principles, and then it sets you free to use your imagination and create whatever comes together, all guided by those principles. And there are several. But one I want to hone in on today is called Yes And. Yes And is perhaps the most core and fundamental principle of doing improv. Here's what it means. You take whatever another person is doing or saying, you affirm it, that's the yes, and then you build off of it, that's the and. That's it. So, for example, if I'm starting a scene with someone in an improv and they say, "Oh my gosh, is that a comet?" If I were going to yes and them, I might respond by saying something along the lines of, "Oh, I think you're right, and wait a minute, it's headed this way," or something along those lines, because then I have affirmed what they brought and I have added on to it to keep things going. And that's yes and. That's it. It sounds pretty easy, right? Wrong! It is surprisingly difficult. Any improver will tell you how hard this can be, because we so often get on our own track with a plan as to what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. And then if somebody else comes along and disrupts what we had planned, it can be so hard to shift gears and go along with it. I remember one performance when one of our friends, one of the troupe members, she started a scene positioning herself on stage in some sort of like a yoga or a stretching pose where she was down on all fours. And just as she was about to say something, another team member came on stage and said, "Well, hey there, Bessie, the old favorite milk cow. How you doing?" Well, just like that, in a split second, she was no longer a yoga instructor, or whatever her plan was going to be. We don't know. Instead, she had to yes and that suggestion that she was a cow. So what else could she do, honestly? She remained on all fours, she started chewing her jaw as if she had a cud, and she let out a big bellowing "Murr," much to the audience's delight. And the scene took off from there, though very different than she had once planned. Well, today, I cannot help but think about that concept of yes and as we hear the story of Jesus calling Simon Peter in Luke 5. A pattern emerges between the two of them where Jesus initiates and invites him to act. And Peter is faced with a choice. Am I going to stay on my track with my own plans? Or am I going to yes and Jesus and accept that invitation? Three times this happens, and three times we get examples of increasing intensity of what it can mean and what it requires of us to be followers of Christ, to be those who live a life of yes and in response to God's call. Because make no mistake, God is calling all of us. Calls are not limited to preachers and prophets. We all have a call for our lives. in whatever field or gifting or expertise or stage you are in. Doctors and lawyers, assistants and custodians, retirees and grade school children, each and every one of us is called by God to participate in something God is doing in the world, wherever we may be. So with that in mind, let's reflect on these three moments and see what we can glean. First, the story begins with Jesus getting right into Simon Peter's boat as he's off washing nets. Jesus did not first request permission to do this. He just hopped in and asked him to put out from shore so he could teach the crowd from there. This is not exactly a typical moment for a first century Galilean fisherman, especially keeping in mind that this is very early in the gospel story, so much so that this might be Jesus' first direct interaction with Simon Peter. He did heal his mother-in-law the chapter before, but there's no specific interaction between them until now. Jesus hopping in and directing him, "Oh, get out in the shallows." So what does Simon Peter do? Well, the text doesn't even actually say that he does it, but lo and behold, Jesus winds up sitting down and teaching from the boat. So we are just left to assume that his response right then and there was, "Yes, and." This first instance warns us that saying yes and to God's call can be very surprising. It might just come out of nowhere, shaking us out of our usual routines, inviting us to do something rather unexpected. And so I'm curious. I just want to take a little poll today. Out of everyone here, raise your hand if you wound up doing the exact thing you thought you were going to do when you were just a kid. Huh. Interesting. So now let's try this again. Raise your hand if your plans changed and you wound up on a trajectory far different than you originally anticipated. There it is. I know that's me. I was convinced I was going to be a weatherman. That is, if my NBA aspirations didn't pan out, which, being 5'11", you know the end of that story. Jesus' invitations are often unexpected surprises, taking us off the track we were on, setting us toward entirely new goals, and we need to be open to the possibilities at any stage of life. So second, after Jesus finishes teaching, he instructs Simon Peter, "Now put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now this is a tricky one. Simon Peter hesitates. "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing." Not an immediate yes and. He pauses with an excuse, perhaps tired and frustrated after a long night of fishing with no results. Because you see, in that time and place, the fishermen would go out all through the night because they could use torchlight to actually draw the attention of the fish, and it would trick them up near the surface where then they could be caught more easily by the nets. But in that first century economy, one futile night of fishing could very well mean for hard times in the near future. So many people were living day to day without the basic necessities to keep them going should enough futile nights get strung together. So you can see why Simon Peter might be a little frustrated and a little reluctant. I mean, not to mention that this whole fishing thing is his job and his expertise, and here comes along this mysterious traveling rabbi that is perhaps not the primary authority on best fishing practices and says, "Oh, go fish right now." Well, why now? Why during the day? And why when there's a massive crowd right here probably scaring all the fish away? Yet, somehow after a moment's hesitation, he still offers the yes and to Jesus. "If you say so, I will let down the nets." And he does. In a second instance, we learn that saying yes and to God's call can not just be surprising, but even frustrating. Sometimes Jesus invites us to do things that don't seem to make much sense, at least according to the logic of our world, which often sees God's wisdom as foolishness. After all, why would a wealthy business owner sell their shares and use their proceeds to support developmental mission efforts? Why would an elected official derail themselves with a commitment to racial and economic justice that jeopardizes their shot at re-election? Why would a promising young student forego the first-rate Ivy League degree and instead start a family in their hometown and make ends meet by the work of their hands? Our participation in what God is calling us to may frustrate the assumptions of this age, but we say yes and anyway, trusting in God's greater purposes. In Simon Peter's case, it wound up paying off big, right? But not in the way you'd think. He made a legendary catch of fish that was sure to set him up for at least the short future. But that was not the end of the story, was it? Brings us to the third and biggest yes and of all. After an absurdly successful catch, Simon Peter realizes here in this moment that Jesus is no mere rabbi, but someone who is holding the very divine presence of God. He senses that so strongly that he cannot help but respond in kneeling and confessing and seeking distance. And in response, Jesus offers a third invitation. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. He invites Simon Peter to put aside the fear. Both in Scripture and in our lives, it seems pretty often that we do tend to respond to those moments of God's presence with fear. Perhaps because when we are met with God's presence, we realize that we are being fully known. And to be fully known can be a scary and vulnerable thought when we consider everything we have known ourselves to be. But in this moment, Jesus does not seem overly concerned with what Peter's been, what he is now. He's focused on what he has for Simon Peter's future, to be who God is calling him to be. In the midst of whatever flaws, questions, doubts he may have, Jesus invites Peter to heed God's call for his life. And in the midst of that divine presence, Simon Peter is in no position to decline. He yes ands Jesus a third time, giving up everything he has. And in order to do so, that includes the bountiful catch he just hauled in. So in this radical moment of sacrifice, we learn that saying yes to God's call can not only be surprising and frustrating, it can be very costly. To what lengths are we willing to go? What expenses are we willing to pay? Everyone's faith journey is perhaps a little different, but we are called, all of us, to sacrifice something, sometimes many things, for the sake of participating in God's mission to the world, leaving behind anything and everything that's going to prevent us from going on that journey. But it is in our willingness to say yes and, despite the unexpected or the confusing or the costly, it is in saying that we enter a life that is being transformed. A life filled to the brim with holy purpose and potential worth more than any of our previous plans. And to glimpse how that played out, we need look no further than to the rest of the ministry of Simon Peter. Because he has this moment of his three yes ands, right? He follows Jesus, he receives the teachings, he witnesses miracles, he participates actively in his ministry. And then down the road comes a very critical moment when the same Simon Peter denied association with Jesus. How many times? Three times. I do not know him. And he went out and wept bitterly. A good reminder that even our yes ands now doesn't mean we're not going to get off track sometimes in the future. But despite those ongoing moments of our human fear and our imperfection, we see on to what Simon Peter had next. The resurrected Jesus met him again with grace and love, yet again beside the sea in John 21, inviting him to heed God's call. How many times? Three times. If you love me, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And this time, Peter's three yes ands would have massive implications for the history of the world as he proceeded to be one of the key figures God used to establish the church. He traveled, preached, wrote, instructed, guided by the Holy Spirit. He went on to be the one who shared his dream, a vision of God demonstrating that God's redemptive purposes are no longer limited to just one particular people group, but it is now a cosmic and universal movement that is welcome to all people. In other words, if it weren't for Peter's yes and, we Christians today might not even be here. Now that's what I call affirming what God is doing and building on from there, my goodness. And here and now, my friends, we are met with that very same opportunity. We too are met with the invitation to respond to Jesus with yes and, to put aside our fears, our self-doubts, and to be willing to set aside it all for the sake of God's coming reign. So will you do it? Will you do what you're called to do? Be who you're called to be, even if it means losing something in the name of God's glory. Maybe it's God's invitation to you to give up a portion of your spring break and to join the volunteer efforts at Safe Harbor, serving and getting to know some of your brothers and sisters of Traverse City that happen to not have homes. Perhaps it's God's nudge for you to join the mission trip coming up in May to Hiawatha Land, and to assist in alleviating the ongoing housing crisis. For any of our students out there, maybe it's God's call to sacrifice a small chunk of your time to take that faith journey of confirmation this spring, to share that faith and to commit to the life of loving service. And these are just the short-term possibilities, the ones that were sticking in my head. Who knows how God might be calling you in the big picture in ways none of us would have anticipated. No matter your age or your experience, your gender or your ability, all it takes is a yes and. People have often told me regarding improv that they could never imagine having to do that themselves. They'll come up and say, "Oh my gosh, how could you just go up there and think of things up on the spot like that?" But the funny thing is, if you look around, you might realize that you already do it. We are already doing improv all the time. In case you didn't notice, we are all living this life that does not have a script. At least, not a script that we possess. We are all just doing our best to come up with things as we go along, guided by our principles. The wisdom of the word, the promise of our baptism, the nourishment at the Lord's table, and the loving service of being a part of a worship community. So I pray that these God-given gifts would continue to train us up in offering our yes and, as we discern Jesus' invitation to be who God is calling us to be. Amen.